My house is right here.
That's where I used to live.
This place right here?
Yes.
It was here at her Wellington Aero Club home this morning.
It's bringing back a lot of memories.
The bizarre shooting of 40-year-old Marlene.
I didn't ever think I was going to be ever come back to this house.
A person disguised as a clown walked up to Marlene Warren's Aero Club home in Wellington.
These are paintings that Marlene had painted when she was about 14 years old. I walk by, I look at them every day, and I kind of grin, because I can almost see her doing this. It gives me a good feeling.
Investigators are trying to find the person who dressed up as a clown.
I don't hate clowns. I just hate one.
This room I call the clown room over here. It's the one that looks very sad to me. And I think of Marlene. That he's sad about. This gentleman over here with the red hair, he says to me that you need to hang in there, things will get better. And this one is a determination of it all working out and everything will be okay. They always stay there and remind me of what has happened.
I don't hate clowns. I just hate one.
What do you remember of May 26, 1990?
I remember that being one of the most terrible days of my life.
You're in the house with your mom, right?
Yes.
What's going on?
Well, typical morning.
She and I were cooking breakfast that morning, joking, carrying on.
Did Marlene have any enemies in this world?
None.
Everybody loved her. She was my everything. My mom, my friend, she was my everything. I was in the living room, probably right where that lamp is.
I sat down to eat, and there was a balloon and some clown coming at the door. Look at that clown. She was going to that door. She was excited.
When your mother opened the door, did she say something?
Oh, how pretty. At first, we thought maybe it was a balloon pop, but when we saw her fall, we knew something was definitely seriously wrong.
We had no clue what was going on. It was like the whole world was in slow motion.
Did the clown say anything?
Nothing. Not a word.
The clown slowly walked back to the car, like no care in the world.
I don't hate clowns. I just hate them.
The question that keeps running through my mind, why?
It's not one day that goes by that I do not think about her, one way or another.
Joe Ahrens was 21 years old on that May morning in 1990 when his beloved mother and best friend, Marlene Warren, was shot in the face at her front door.
Gunshot.
Yeah.
And down she goes.
Yes.
Your mother is lying where?
On the floor, right there.
It was just a horrible feeling.
Joe was living at home, and his friends were over that morning, including Jeannie Pratt, who helped tend to Marlene. A neighbor called 911.
I was right next to her, and I rolled her to her side. There was a big hole in her cheek and upper lip.
Joe, hobbled by a broken leg and cast, followed the clown outside. The shooter's car, a white Chrysler LeBaron, was parked in the driveway.
The car was right here. The door was open. The car was running. I tried to get the clown to turn around. I called him every word in the book.
The shooter looked back. Joe saw white and red clown makeup, a fuzzy orange wig, and the eyes of the person who had just shot his mother.
Just really dark brown eyes.
The shooter calmly got in the car and drove away.
Didn't even squeal a tire, just drove off like nothing happened.
Joe made his way to his own car.
Joey was running around, hurting himself, and I'm like, you're not going anywhere by yourself.
Jeannie Pratt jumped in the car with him.
I just punched it to try to catch up to that car. I never could catch it.
It was like, poof, just disappeared.
So then I turned back and came back here. The detectives were here and the ambulance were working on my mom.
Warren was rushed here to Palms West Hospital where she was admitted in extremely critical condition.
With a bullet lodged in her spinal cord, 40-year-old Marlene Warren was put on life support. Joe was questioned by police and then went straight to his mother.
First thing I did is grab her hand, you know, and try to talk to her, or, you know, just try to get some kind of response, you know, and there was nothing.
Meanwhile, at her home, investigators gather evidence searching for clues.
Investigators had very little to work with initially.
Daphne Durrett of the Palm Beach Post.
They knew that the shooter sped off in a white Chrysler LeBaron. What they also knew was that the shooter had brown eyes.
Because of all the makeup and the costume, Joe couldn't even be sure if the shooter was a man or a woman, which left police with a problem.
There's a thing called a BOLO. What is a BOLO?
A BOLO is an acronym for Be On The Lookout. And in this case, the BOLO was for someone dressed in a clown costume.
It was not a lot to go on, but detectives got an early break.
3 hours after the shooting, the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office gets an anonymous phone call from a female caller.
The caller told police to look at Marlene's husband, 38-year-old Mike Warren, who'd been married to Marlene since Joe was a toddler.
When we were younger, he was great.
Marlene had been married before as a teenager, had Joe and his brother Johnny, and after that marriage fell apart, at 20, she married Mike.
He was my father for 20-some years, the only dad I knew.
In the late 80s, the Warrens were living here at the Aero Club, an exclusive subdivision in Wellington, Florida, where every home backs onto a private runway.
You were 21 years old. You must have felt like you're in paradise here, didn't you?
Oh, I did. I loved it. I miss it.
Mike and Marlene owned several businesses, many in Marlene's name. Marlene managed their rental properties. Mike owned a few racehorses and was a used car salesman, selling and renting cars.
We owned a car business, Bargain Motors.
The family was prospering. But a year and a half before the shooting, Joe's brother, Johnny, was killed in a car accident. He was 22 years old.
It was tragic, and it hit her hard.
Marlene's mother Shirley Twing.
That was her first baby, you know.
She's the one that told me. And she just grabbed me and wouldn't let me go, you know.
Joe says after his brother died, everything changed between Marlene and Mike.
He wasn't around as much as I guess you would say he should have been.
The actions spoke louder than words. He wasn't around.
Mike was just not there as a husband for her.
Right. Or a dad for me. And I think my mom was picking up on that. She told me 2 weeks before that we were going to move.
It was around this time that Marlene confided in her mother, living in Las Vegas. What she said was shocking.
She says, if anything happens to me, Mike did it. So there must have been one heck of a fight.
What did that tell you?
I told her she could come home.
But that didn't happen. When Shirley heard her daughter had been shot, she instantly thought of Mike.
Right away, I figured it was him. I figured Mike had something to do with it, that's for damn sure.
But at 10:51 that morning when Marlene was shot, Mike Warren was miles away on the interstate, driving south with a car full of witnesses.
Mike Warren was with a couple of his buddies on his way to the Calder racetrack.
That meant Mike couldn't possibly be the shooter.
He was nowhere near the home at the time.
If Mike Warren wasn't the shooter, police had actually gotten a second name from that anonymous tipster.
The caller was clear. Look at Sheila Keane.
I just wanted to see my mom. I just stayed in that room for hours at a time.
As his mother clung to life, Joe remained by her side at the hospital.
What were you saying to her?
I love you, please don't leave. Mom, I just kept saying, Mom.
Unable to speak to Marlene, police focused on their few leads. The clown disguise, the balloons, and the flower arrangement. They immediately canvassed flower shops, supermarkets, and costume shops in the area.
I got a call from the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Department, and it was a detective.
Hours after the shooting, detectives reached Barbara Castricone and later Deborah Offord, who at the time worked at a local costume store. Deborah remembers a customer coming in two nights earlier, a woman who seemed to be in a hurry.
I said, can you come back tomorrow? And she said, no, I need something right now. She wanted to see the clown costume.
Deborah told police the customer bought a clown costume, some makeup, an orange wig, and a red clown nose. She also gave them a description.
Long, thick, straight, like chocolate color hair. Big brown eyes.
Brown eyes, just like Joe remembered. Detective showed her a photo lineup, and she tentatively identified the woman with the brown eyes as the same person named in that anonymous tip. Sheila Keane.
Sheila Keane. Who is she?
Sheila Keane, at the time, worked for Mike Warren.
Long, long, beautiful brown hair, brown eyes.
Della Ward used to work with Sheila Keane at Bargain Motors. She remembers Sheila as a 26-year-old young mother, on her own after separating from her husband.
Sheila Keane had a reputation for being fearless.
Sheila repossessed cars for the business.
She was a repo woman.
She is a repo woman.
To do repos, you have to have some kind of guts.
Della remembers that Sheila carried a gun, a 38, some said.
She told me, you know, I keep a gun for my protection because people are crazy what they do. They'll come out with shotguns and shoot at you, not to repo their car.
Police would soon learn about a possible motive.
There were rumors that Mike Warren and Sheila Keene were more than just coworkers. There were rumors that the two of them were lovers.
There's no doubt about it. They were definitely seeing one another.
Mike Warren agreed to be questioned by detectives and denied having any extramarital affairs with a Sheila Keene. At the same time, other investigators continued trying to find where the flower arrangement and balloons were purchased.
One said, "You're the greatest," and the other one had Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs on it.
Right, so they had these two very distinctive balloons.
Police learned that those balloons were distinctive enough that they could link them back to a specific supermarket.
The balloons and flowers left at the doorstep of the murder scene were purchased at this Publix. The buyer described as a white female with dark brown hair.
Dark brown hair, like Sheila's. Police discovered that purchase was made at 9:22 a.m., an hour and a half before the shooting, and the store's location caught their attention.
Sheila Keene's home is about a little more than half a mile over here.
One day after the shooting, detectives caught up with Sheila Keene. She gave them an alibi. She said that at the time of the attack, she was out doing her job, looking for vehicles for repossession.
They ask her, "Which cars were you looking to repossess?" She says she doesn't remember.
Like Mike, Sheila denied the two were having an affair, telling investigators they were just good friends. Her neighbors told a different story.
They say that they saw Mike Warren coming in and out of the house so often that they thought that he was her husband.
All hours of the day and night,
all right? Hours of the day and night on multiple occasions.
A security guard says he did not know Warren, but that he was allowed in by order of Sheila Keene.
He can come in without us calling or notifying her.
But rumors of an affair were not enough for an arrest. And even though he was under investigation, Mike kept vigil with Joe at his wife's bedside.
Did it seem impossible that Mike could be involved?
To me, yes, you know, because it was my dad. Just couldn't even think that.
By now, Marlene's mother, Shirley, had arrived. And 2 days after the shooting, the difficult decision was made to remove Marlene from life support.
I hung on to Joe. He hung on to my hand. And I said, pull it, let it go, let her go. And poor Joe, his hand was so damn cold. And I know it was killing him.
Within a minute or so, just as soon as the machine was gone, she was gone.
With Marlene Warren's death, police now had to solve a murder. And the next day recovered another important piece of evidence. A bullet removed from Marlene's body consistent with a .38 or .357 caliber gun.
And this becomes another piece of circumstantial evidence that appears to tie Sheila Keene to this shooting.
See more case photos on Facebook at 48 Hours.
So at this point in the investigation, let's imagine there's a spotlight
It's on Sheila Keene right now, right?
Absolutely on Sheila Keene.
Police had a tentative ID at the costume shop, a description at the Publix grocery store that was consistent with Sheila Keene, and a bullet. All intriguing circumstantial evidence, but not decisive in connecting Sheila or anyone else to Marlene's murder.
Detectives have been checking all possible leads, but have come up empty until now.
Then, 4 days after the shooting, police got a huge break. They found a white Chrysler LeBaron. Maybe this was the getaway car.
They find it in the parking lot of a Winn-Dixie supermarket.
That supermarket is 8 miles from the crime scene and 9 miles from Sheila Keene's apartment. Inside the car, police found two important clues.
They find this orange synthetic hair.
Like the fibers from a clown wig.
They also find strands of brown human hair.
Brown hair, like Sheila Keene's. Within hours, police had a warrant to search her apartment.
The investigation is turned to the woman who lives here at the Pine Ridge Apartments off Haverhill Road.
They didn't find a gun. Sheila's estranged husband told police they owned a .38 revolver, but that Sheila told him she'd misplaced it about a month before the murder. What police did find in the apartment was hair from the bathroom trash and a stunner, more orange fibers on clothing inside Sheila's home.
Detectives aren't saying if Keene is actually a suspect in the murder. What they will say is that they are waiting for test results on samples of hair and fibers taken from search warrants.
A police criminologist compared the samples of human hair and the orange fibers from the car and the apartment, and in both cases concluded the samples were similar.
So this sounds like something, boy, you could put this in front of a jury and potentially get a conviction.
You could, or maybe you couldn't. Similar is not the same.
Investigators reportedly ran DNA on the hair and fibers, but DNA testing was still very new. The results were apparently inconclusive. Prosecutors decided it was not enough to make an arrest. But investigators were not done digging. They ran a check on the LeBaron and learned it had been stolen.
The Chrysler LeBaron is another maze of bizarre facts.
Take a look at this ad for Payless Car Rental, a competitor of Mike Warren's. Now take a look at Mike Warren's ad and notice the giant word, Payless. Payless accused Mike of intentionally trying to confuse customers with his ad. In at least one case, it seems to have worked. About a month before Marlene's murder, a couple rented the LeBaron from Payless, but mistakenly called Bargain, Mike's company, to return it. Police say someone at Bargain told the couple to leave the car on the street with the keys inside.
Place the keys in the visor and we'll take it from there.
It was stolen the same night. After learning of all this, investigators went into Warren's business with a search warrant.
Sheriff's detectives spent about 5 hours Thursday night searching the offices of Bargain Motors at 14th and Dixie in downtown West Palm Beach.
But investigators could not prove Mike Warren stole that LeBaron, nor could they connect him to his wife's murder. But they did uncover evidence of widespread fraud. Mike Warren was arrested and ultimately charged with multiple counts of racketeering, grand theft auto, insurance fraud, and odometer tampering.
They wanted to get him so bad that he was the one, but he had an alibi.
One of Mike's bookkeepers, Della Ward, didn't like the questions police were asking.
They wanted me to badmouth Michael. How can I badmouth a man that was good to me? You know, he's not this cold-hearted killer that wanted to knock off his wife, no.
The fraud case was complex. As prosecutors prepared for that trial, the murder investigation continued. And Mike and Joe battled over Marlene's estate, reported to be worth well over $1 million. But emotionally devastated and just 22, Joe was no match for his used car salesman's stepfather. He says he was left with next to nothing. 2 years after Marlene's murder, Mike stood trial for his business schemes.
I was called a hostile witness.
In the end, Mike Warren was convicted of fraud and served nearly 4 years in prison. Police never closed Marlene's case, but as the years passed, there was no sign of any new evidence.
They never found the gun. They never found the clown suit or the wig.
And as for Sheila Keen, she wasn't charged in this case and eventually moved away.
They investigated her. They couldn't come up with nothing, okay? Sheila packed up with her son and left the area. Nobody ever brought her name up again.
The killer clown case went cold. But a few years later, Della heard some very surprising news.
I just found out that Sheila and Michael got married. And I guess the look on my face was like, wow.
In 2002, 12 years after Marlene's murder, Mike Warren and Sheila Keen, who once denied they were romantically involved, got married amid the glittering neon lights of Las Vegas. They had settled here in secluded Kingsport, Tennessee, in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains.
Their friends and neighbors described them as this couple that worked 6 days a week and that they were always on the go.
The newlyweds had joined the ranks of local business owners, running a burger joint called the Purple Cow. It was famous for a giant hamburger named after Mike.
Mike's Intimidator. Mm-hmm. Big old burger.
It's like that
big.
Pound
of meat.
Ashley Sexton and Cynthia Swafford worked at the Purple Cow for about 2 years.
She was the cook. I was the handout window.
They had a front row seat watching their bosses, Sheila and Mike Warren.
They didn't say much about their life in Florida. We did know Mike went to jail.
Yeah.
This is Sheila and Mike Warren's house.
Brooke Blevins met Mike and Sheila when they bought a weekend property down the street from hers, just across the Tennessee border in Virginia.
This is Heron Point at South Holston Lake, the best place to live ever. Well, we have a lot of fun here. Everybody's very friendly, knows each other, concerned about each other.
And Sheila and Mike, they fit right in?
Yes, they do.
Tell me about the Sheila Warren that you know.
The Sheila Warren that I know is very giving. She's just, I know I could depend on her. She's just very, very sweet.
When she married Mike, Sheila changed her last name to Warren, her first name to Debbie, and she changed the color of her hair.
We called her Debbie or Deb.
And when she was introduced to people by Mike, would he say, "This is my wife, Debbie"?
He'd say, "This is Deb."
This is Deb.
Yeah, this is my wife, Deb.
Brooke says Mike told her it was a childhood nickname.
Her dad nicknamed her that when she was small.
But Della Ward never heard of it.
A nickname that she had? No.
The fact that they didn't talk about their past, are you wondering if you really know them?
I'm a pretty good judge of character by looking at people, how they act today. That told me all I needed to know. I
didn't ask them about their past. They didn't ask me about my past.
You could be their neighbors all you want to. You see what you see. You know, unless you work for them and been back there 8-12 hours a day dealing with them, you don't know who they really are.
Cynthia and Ashley also knew Sheila by her new name.
I never called her Sheila. I always called her Debbie, too.
That's what we knew her by.
Whatever they knew her by, the women say Sheila and Mike were as tough as a couple of overcooked burgers to work for.
You messed something up. You knew it. I'm telling you that. You knew you messed it up because he was going to tell you. So is she. I mean, she was awful, aggressive, mean, just like Mike.
And there were rumors about Sheila slash Debbie's past.
The rumor around Purple Cow when we worked there was Debbie killed Mike's ex-wife. The rumors said it more than once, even to where we knew she dressed up like a clown.
To get the outfit, to put all the makeup on, to get the car, to get the balloons, to get the bouquet, this is malice aforethought. This is why they call it first-degree murder.
While Mike and Sheila were trying to live happily ever after in the mountains, Palm Beach County Sheriff Rick Bradshaw had not forgotten Marlene's case.
The reason they're called cold cases is because there wasn't enough information there to solve them at the time, so you got to dig.
This is the homicide floor. The last couple of vaults, they belong to the cold case detectives.
In 2013, Bradshaw's cold case squad decided to open up their old file vault and take another look.
You just have to be willing to continue to fight and fight and fight for these victims.
Lead Detective Paige McCann and her team started calling up old witnesses, including Jeannie.
The Pandora's box was reopened when someone called me.
Deborah from the costume shop.
He let me know that they were reviewing this case.
And even Mike's old friend, Della.
And they went through the same questions they did years ago.
Who remained unimpressed.
Now I'm saying, why are you reopening the case if these are the same questions?
But police weren't just asking the same questions.
We did have our lab look at some items.
There were new advancements in DNA that detectives were hoping could help close the case.
We reviewed the entire case, and then we determined that additional items needed to be tested.
In the winter of 2016, as police continued working, Mike and Sheila sold the Purple Cow and retired, moving full-time to the lake.
We would have surprise birthday parties for each other and dinners. It was real sweet.
And then, one day,
I was in shock to know that the story was actually true.
Sat here for a while, I was numb for a long time. I just felt abandoned, you know. I was on my own.
Since his mother's murder, Joe Ahrens was in and out of trouble, struggling with drugs and alcohol. Married and now divorced, Joe is building a new life for himself in Iowa.
Those two silverheads.
With his own construction company.
We're just doing final details, cleaning, touch-ups. It's getting there.
Skills he traces back to days helping his mom, Marlene, with their rental properties.
I've seen her fix anything in the house. If she couldn't, she would hire somebody, and then she would tell me to watch them. I learned a lot from that.
But Joe is still haunted by his memories.
The nighttime is the worst. The bad, bad stuff, usually at night.
Oh my God.
That is so creepy.
In 2016, while Joe was trying to get on with his life, creepy clowns, evil clowns, and sinister clowns were suddenly everywhere. In the news,
clowns are reportedly terrorizing a town in South Carolina.
On social media,
many have been dismissed by law enforcement as pranks.
And the following year, on the big screen.
I saw something.
A clown. Yeah, I saw him too.
I don't hate clowns. I just hate them.
In 2017, 27 years since Marlene's murder, new DNA results on the old evidence finally changed a circumstantial case into one police now say is rock solid. But they wouldn't tell us exactly what that evidence is. Not yet.
We have it, without a doubt.
No doubt.
Not in my mind.
Now, they just had to track down their clown. Hoping to avoid a confrontation at the Warrens' Virginia home, local police set up a roadblock.
We had set up fuses, flares, all the way down in this sharp curve just to slow traffic.
Lieutenant Dewey Fulton of the Washington County Sheriff's Department.
And you're one of the guys, officers, stopping the vehicle?
Yes, sir, Peter.
The plan was to make it look like a routine checkpoint.
They pulled right up, and where we're standing at right now is where the vehicle stopped.
Mike Warren was driving.
I went to the passenger side where Miss Warren was, and I asked her if she would happen to have her ID also. She gave me a Tennessee driver's license with the name Sheila Warren, and at that time, I just reached in, opened her door. I said, ma'am, we have a warrant for your arrest.
Police had finally done it. Sheila Keen Warren, the woman they believed to be Marlene's killer, was arrested.
I texted Ashley and was like, oh my God.
I was shocked.
Cynthia and Ashley watched the video of Sheila in the squad car online.
She didn't cry, no shock look. It was just like, she had the face of like, I finally got caught. I was just like, I argued with a killer this whole entire time.
It was all over Facebook and everybody was tagging me. Look, 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 look. They got her.
And when you learned that news?
It was like that cinder block pressing you down all these years. It's been lifted.
I didn't know how to act. It was a good feeling and also a sad feeling, you know, because she's not here anymore.
Very surprised and a little bit good. Vengeance. Excuse me.
Sheila Warren was extradited the following week to Palm Beach County.
Ma'am, you're charged with first-degree murder with a firearm.
Where a judge denied her bail. She has hired a top defense attorney and is awaiting trial.
The Sheila that I know wouldn't even have come to my mind that she could have done anything that she's been accused of.
You don't look at her now and wonder, could she be a killer?
No, not really. If I did find out something horrible, she's still my friend. My love's unconditional. I love her no matter what.
You guys have not stopped investigating this particular murder.
Still an open investigation.
And at the sheriff's office, the cold case team says its investigation is far from over.
Is Michael Warren still a person of interest in this case?
Yes. You know, the investigation's still ongoing with Michael Warren, as well as anyone else who might have been involved.
I feel he was 100% part of it.
And the motive?
Greed. He wanted out of a marriage.
As his wife sits in a Palm Beach County jail, Mike Warren is still in Virginia, in their house by the lake.
This is Heron Point, the subdivision where Mike Warren lives. We're gonna go to his front door, give it a knock, and see if he'll answer a couple of questions.
Thank you.
Here he comes.
Hey, Mike. I'm Peter Van Sant with CBS News. Can I talk to you?
He didn't want to open the door.
Did you have anything to do with planning the murder of your wife, Marlene? You did not.
Mike Warren ended up talking to us through that door for several minutes, denying any involvement in Marlene's murder.
Did you suggest to Sheila that she dress in a clown outfit?
You're saying, Sheila, who said Sheila did that?
For his part, Joe Aaron says he's hopeful for the legal process that is now underway. But the scars of all he has suffered run deep.
Just couldn't put it together for a long time. I finally got myself together and knew, what would she want me to do? She would want me to carry on. She would want me to do the best I could. You know, just try to get happiness in my life. I love you. I miss you. Maybe we'll get justice one day.
Sheila Keene Warren has pleaded not guilty. No trial date has been set. See more of Sheila Warren's arrest online at 48hours.com.
Plus is your streaming home for another unbelievable season of the NFL on CBS.
And here he goes.
Every Sunday.
Touchdown!
The most anticipated games.
Lamar going deep.
Oh, what a catch!
Football's biggest stars.
That's old-fashioned Josh Allen football.
And all the unforgettable moments.
There it is. This is history.
Sign up for Paramount Plus today and stream the NFL on CBS all season long.
See you Sunday.